Ed Ayers has been a long-distance runner for over half a century. In his new book, The Longest Race, Ayers tells the story of an ultramarathon he ran a little over a decade ago. In the 2001 JFK 50 Mile, Ayers set a record for his age group. A couple of decades and change earlier, he won that race. But that's only part of the story he has to tell. The rest of it concerns human survival. Ed Ayers joins me from KPCC in Pasadena. Welcome to Only a Game.
Hello.
You've been running in races of one kind or another for over 50 years, and early in The Longest Race, you write, "My reasons for entering this race were as complex or simple as my reasons for wanting to be alive." How is long-distance running necessarily connected to what you call the instinct to survive?
Well, I'd say that the kind of race that I've been running in recent years, the ultra-marathon or ultra-distance race, is a ritual of survival. It's a way of getting closer to our origins and to our real nature. You're more often than not going out into wilderness areas, forests, deserts, sometimes mountain trails. You're pretty far separated from the tech-supported industrial world that we have created for ourselves. And so I don't carry GPS. I think there's a good reason not to. We developed very good map sense. It's based in the hippocampus part of the brain. And mental mapping is important to survival, to be able to see the big picture of things. If you depend on technological mapping through GPS, research has shown that the hippocampus is actually likely to shrink over time.
The event that provides the spine for your narrative is the JFK 50 Mile, and you refer to John F. Kennedy himself often throughout the book. Why that particular race?
John F. Kennedy actually initiated the JFK race as we know it today. He was a big force in the initiation of modern ultra running in the United States. In 1960, just after he'd been elected, he expressed a very deep concern about what he perceived as the lack of fitness of Americans. It was for Sports Illustrated magazine, an article titled "The Soft American," in which Kennedy lamented what he regarded as the seriously declining fitness of the American military and its capability to defend the country in dangerous times.
I'd like you to read a paragraph from the chapter titled Dam Number 4, about three-quarters of the way through the book, beginning on page 165.
There were times when it seemed that quite possibly the most important single value of long-distance running for me was the reassurance it gave me that I do not have to be swept up by the systemic madness and myopia that seemed to have seized control of my world. This towpath out here past milepost 83 still had a little wildness, which allowed me to stay connected to a little of my own wildness. I was able at least to keep my balance at a time when the civilized world seemed to have been blindfolded by thieves and sent speeding toward a wreck.
This is far from the only place in The Longest Race where you refer to the potentially disastrous consequences of global warming. Despite that circumstance, how is that attempt to keep your balance going these days?
Society, industrial society, if you want to call it that, is way out of balance insofar as it is rushing toward the precipice. Scientists tell us something we're just not paying attention to. We are burning our fuel and burning our resources way too fast. And there's where I see a striking analogy between what happens with runners and what's happening with industrial society.
At the end of your book, you describe the feeling you have when you've completed that JFK 50-mile race and set the record for your age group, and you write, "There would be a couple of hours of afterglow, and then, like a morning dew, it would be gone." When that happened, were you left with the depressing knowledge of where you believe we're all headed, or did you immediately start thinking about preparing for the next race?
I would say it's more the latter. I describe a long-distance foot race near the beginning of the book as something like a rebirth. Each race that you run is a journey that is, in a way, like the journey of life itself. And when it's over, it's over. The afterglow is there for a short time. And yes, I really do very soon afterward begin thinking about the next race. It is a kind of rebirth.
Ed Ayers is the author of The Longest Race, A Lifelong Runner and Iconic Ultramarathon, and The Case for Human Endurance. The book is published by The Experiment, and the author joined me from KPCC in Pasadena. Ed Ayers, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It's a pleasure, Bill.
You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio, and I hope you will. I'm surrounded by people who will be happy if you do. Young people, people who perhaps can't remember a time before Facebook and Twitter. I myself can remember a time before ATMs, and a time before cell phones, and a time before the Giants moved to San Francisco taking Willie Mays with them. But I digress. Make someone happy. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio.